Songs to finish it, only on the free iHeart app. Number one for music, radio, and podcasts all in one.
Welcome back to the Rudder Catch You here on Utah's Talk Radio 105.9 KNRS. Listening, you know, how many of you will be in love with your car in, let's say, 20 or 30 years, and it's an electric vehicle, you're running out of juice, you got to pull over to some charging station and wait for a half hour before it's fully charged so you can get on your way. I mean, how many of you are ready for that? There was a story out today, a report is done by IHS Market Forecast. And it says cars over the next decade are going to flip from being mostly gasoline-powered to mostly electrified. Now, the question is going to be, the manufacturers are going to make them, but are consumers going to buy and use them? Joining us on our Newsmaker line right now to talk about it is Edward Ring. Edward is a senior fellow at the Center for American Greatness. Always great to have Edward on the show. Edward, how are you? And welcome back to the show.
Doing fine. Thanks very much.
Edward, will the American consumer grab onto an electric vehicle?
Well, you know, it makes sense if the price is right for daily commutes, if they're not going too far. But otherwise, it really isn't. We're not ready yet for these kind of cars, as I try to explain. The electric motor is pretty good. It's got a high RPM range. It's got incredible torque. It gets a lot of horsepower for its weight. But we don't have the onboard power sources, whether that's batteries or fuel cells. They're not ready for prime time.
Edward, let me ask you this. Will this industry, the EV industry, be able to even make it without government subsidies for a while?
Well, that's a good question. I think that, again, certain niches probably are getting close, but no, we're not able to build an electric car yet that's got the kind of range and convenience that we're getting from gasoline and diesel vehicles. It's not there. You know, it depends on where you look at the subsidies. Are we talking about subsidizing pure research to advance battery technology, or are we talking about, $7,000 tax credit for every EV you buy, which has been the law for several years? I think they finally sunset that law in California, but that kind of thing is, people have depended on that to grow this industry.
And the question is that, Edward, right now, the raw materials to make these batteries, from what I've been able to read, there aren't many places around the world that have those raw materials. There are some in Africa and in China. Other than that, I don't think we've found a lot, have we?
There's some talk about getting them out of the ocean if you're talking about lithium. I think that the supply of lithium is something that works right now because we don't have that many battery-operated cars. But if you start, it's not just cars. You take the cars with batteries, and then you add to that the idea that we're going to have wind and solar farms, and then when the wind isn't blowing and the sun isn't shining, we're going to have battery farms. Now you're talking about a amount of required storage capacity that's even greater than the entire automotive fleet in the United States. And no, we don't really know where we're going to find that much lithium yet. And the other thing we're doing is we're relying on lithium and cobalt, which you need for these batteries. Mm-hmm. We're relying on nations that are not just China, with no human rights and no labor laws and so forth, but even worse, countries in West Africa, where it's virtually slave labor that's being employed and child labor to get these. Why aren't we getting lithium from the Mojave Desert? There's all kinds of lithium in, Southeast California, the Salton Sea and areas around there, very underpopulated areas, vast areas of space. If anybody would know how to do it in a way that was friendly to labor and friendly to the environment, it would be Californians. So why aren't we mining our lithium in California? And that's where the hypocrisy really, really starts to surface. And that's also where the costs start to surface, because if you do this in a responsible way and don't abuse people and the environment, lithium is going to cost a whole lot more. So there's a lot of problems with batteries.
What is it going to take, do you think, Edward, to convince the American public to switch from the combustion engine over to electric vehicles? Is it cost? Is it convenience? What is it going to take?
Cost and convenience. The future of automobiles, right now it's very interesting. Cars are sort of in an evolution right now, mm-hmm. and a lot of it's good. Where we have ability very soon to let our cars drive us places. The downside of that, of course, is our cars monitor us and watch us, and you can turn the car off remotely and drive it where somebody doesn't want to go. That's the downside. But, you know, this is an evolution that's very interesting, and a lot of it's positive. You'll be able to sit in your car and go somewhere while you're working or watching movies or, you know, recreating. Those are all good things. Will we be able to do that without having to have subsidies? Yes, and it'll probably take a little bit longer, but it will be done in a much better way. We don't know what the car of the future is going to look like. That's why it was awful when they got rid of the Chevy Volt. The Chevy Volt was an interesting innovation. It was a hybrid designed the same as a locomotive, where you have an internal combustion engine that never has to change its RPM, so it has a really extraordinary energy efficiency, turns a generator, that turns the electric that powers the electric motors. Things like that are innovations that don't survive Biden's mandate. And it's not just the Volt, which is a unique type of hybrid. It's all hybrid. All hybrid vehicles are not qualifying as EVs because they have emissions, which is crazy. You could drive the Volt around to work. You know, 90% of your miles would be nothing but electricity, but when you wanted to go off 400 miles on one tank of gas, you could do that in a Chevy Volt. Then you could tank up in 5 minutes and come home again. That's not possible with EVs, and until that changes, they can't handle all the duty cycles that Americans want and deserve.
It's going to be interesting to watch this industry as it changes. You're right, Edward. Edward, as always, great having you on the show. Thank you, and enjoy the rest of the day.
Thanks very much.
All right, on our Newsmaker line, Edward Ring. He is a senior fellow at the Center for American Greatness, talking about Joe Biden's electric car ambitions. And as I mentioned, a report out today showing that cars over the next decade are going to flip from being mostly gas-powered to mostly electrified vehicles. We'll see what happens.